Okay, one of the best things about Batman is his bat suit. The cape, the armor, the utility belt with the bat grappling hooks. Now imagine if the US military all had bat suits, maybe without the tights. The Pentagon is exploring exoskeletons for soldiers, body coverings that are lightweight enough that soldiers could actually wear them, and the human shells would make physical activity easier, from running and jumping to lifting weights. Listen to this clip from a local TV report in Salt Lake City, Utah, about a company that's working on exoskeletons.
Each one of these ammo cans weighs 72 pounds. Imagine trying to lift 150 to 200 of these onto this pallet.
Commanding his exoskeleton, Rex does it. In this round, Robin lifting 35-pound canisters. Several of us moving as fast as we can't keep up.
That was reporter Ed Yates from KSL-TV in Salt Lake City. You can watch that whole video on our blog at npr.org/Bryant Park. Noah Shachman wrote about these futuristic fighting machines. He's a contributing editor at Wired magazine and writes the national security blog on Wired.com called Danger Room. And Noah's in studio. So, Noah, these things are so amazing to watch in this video. But it's amazing. You put on armor, you think, heavy, but you put on one of these, lighter, I can lift things. How can I move faster? How does that work?
Yeah, it's interesting. Basically, what the armor suit is, what the bat suit is in this time, there's no little sidekick in short pants helping you out. Instead, it's a series of robots, actually. What the exoskeleton really is a series of robots that works with your musculature to make you stronger, to make you faster.
It covers you. It literally, you sort of back into the suit, it looks like. And then there's these robot arms which shadow your arms. Is it the idea to create a Superman force? I'm going to use as many superheroes as I can. Or is it about daily utility within the Army?
Well, I mean, certainly the first idea is to help soldiers that work in warehouses or have to load up jets to help them with a pretty tiring job. Use number two might be out in the field. I recently got back from Iraq, and the amount of stuff that a soldier's got to carry around is really pretty staggering, especially when you figure it's 120 degrees in Baghdad. You've got armor. You've got a helmet. You've got ammunition. You've got a very heavy weapon. You've got grenades. You've got just all kinds of stuff. It can add up to 60, 70 pounds, and that's before you put on the backpack. So if you had something, you had these series of robots that could kind of help you out and make that load feel lighter, especially in all that heat, it could be really helpful.
Is the Pentagon investing serious money in this?
Serious money for you and I, for the Pentagon, it's like, you know, what fell out of their pocket this
morning.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely in the millions of dollars. It's in the tens of millions of dollars, I'd say, over the long run. But, of course, in a budget that's $500 billion, you know, it's not exactly a new aircraft carrier or another war in the Middle East.
Who developed this technology, and was this the original intended use for this technology?
So the government backer of the technology is a group called DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They're the guys that brought you everything from the internet to stealth jets to the computer mouse. Now, they've also had lots of bad ideas along the way, too, like the nuclear hand grenade.
Yeah, that would
right.
be, yeah. Okay,
not so good.
Enough said.
So, you know, they have a lot of wacky stuff, and they have a lot of useful stuff, too. And the Pentagon spends $3 billion a year on that agency to come up with all kinds of wacky ideas like Batman, Iron Man suits. The manufacturers range from academics in places like Berkeley to this company Sarcos out in Utah. And what's really interesting about Sarcos is that they don't just make fighting suits for the military. They also do a lot of stuff in the entertainment industry. And probably their best known product or device is the dancing fountains at the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas.
It's so interesting when you talk about these military applications seeping into real life. We were thinking about this, these exoskeletons for, say, you were at a hospital and you had a seriously obese patient, or you needed to move heavy equipment. I mean, these applications for an exoskeleton really could work their way into daily life, prosthetics.
Right. Prosthetics is actually the most direct application, because both of them, most modern or the advanced prosthetics also rely on basically a series of robots that shadow how you move and interface with how you move. So certainly the same crowd that's working on exoskeletons is also looking at prosthetics too. For example, there's a guy up at MIT. His name is Hugh Herr. He was a world champion mountain climber until he lost his legs to frostbite. And so he decided to totally geek out and become an expert in prosthetics. And now he's an MIT professor, and he has these sort of Inspector Gadget legs that allow him to be the best mountain climber, even better than he was before. He's working both on next-generation prosthetics and on exoskeletons, and he's using many of the same technologies and the same techniques to do both.
All right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer a moral and ethical question. Aren't I nice?
Yeah,
if we're talking about people in Iraq, since you've been to Iraq, who don't have armor on their Humvees, should we be even discussing exoskeletons, the super advanced technology, when we need some very basics for the troops?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the reason why. You know, the Pentagon can't just focus on what's in front of it. The Pentagon has to focus on the future challenges of tomorrow, to sound like some techno nerd. It's got to do that. Just like any business has to sink in a certain amount of money to R&D and can't just focus on making next quarter's profits. It's the same thing in the military.
That's research and development for you folks out there.
Thank you.
Noah Shachtman, contributing editor to Wired magazine, writes the national security blog on Wired.com called The Danger Room. Check it out. It's good reading. Thanks for coming in, Noah.
My pleasure.
All right, did you get an email from Human Resources reminding you it's open enrollment time? Do you have no idea what to do? Well, we have an expert coming in to help you out with that. Plus, a look at the campaign of Ron Paul from One Rider on the road with him. Tucker Carlson joins us next. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.